Our guest today in the Global Observatory is Parfe Onanga Anyanga, the Special Representative of the Secretary General and Head of the UN Operation in Burundi, known as BANUB. Parfe Onanga was named to the post in June and took up his duties in Bujumbura in August. He is a familiar figure in the UN community in New York because over the past decade, he has served in a number of highly visible positions working for the Deputy Secretary General and Presidents of the General Assembly. His fingerprints are on a lot of initiatives and reforms that the UN has undertaken during that period, including the Peacebuilding Commission, which figures prominently in the new assignment since Burundi was one of the first two countries to go onto the agenda of the commission. Parfe, welcome. And let me ask you, first of all, Burundi has a parliament right now in which the opposition basically has no representatives due to an electoral boycott in the 2010 elections. Obviously, there is an effort underway right now to open up political dialogue and to broaden the political space. I wanted to ask you whether you are encouraged or discouraged now by the progress the country is making in trying to have a real political dialogue. And this all, of course, is leading up to the crucial 2015 elections. Do you see what's going on now, the lessening of the political space, as endangering the integrity of those elections?
Thank you very much, Warren. I must say I've been in Burundi only 5 months, but what I've seen so far is rather reassuring. When I first got into Bujumbura, the situation was grimmer. There was no dialogue whatsoever between the government and the opposition. It was still challenging the legitimacy of the current CNDD, FDD majority and government. And they would simply challenge everything that the government would do. And there was definitely tension in the air and suggesting that if nothing was done to reduce the level of tension between these two major actors, there was rather no hope for an appeased and peaceful prospect for the 2015 elections. So part of my mandate and my job there has been indeed to convey the concerns of the international community and invite all stakeholders to consider that Burundi has no other option but to strengthen its democratic institutions. And therefore, the place for democracy to develop and grow and be strengthened is within its institutions, within institutions such as the parliament, the senate, and the government. I have sent this message to the government, but also discussed this with the opposition. To the opposition, the main message was to say a call for magnanimity. There was no question about the fact that the international community did bless the outcome of the 2010 elections. We did consider, and when I say we, including the UN, we did consider that despite of the few shortcomings that we identified, they were not to the level of putting into question the entire electoral process. And therefore, we decided that these elections were broadly fair and therefore should be considered as successfully organized. So having said that, we turn on to the opposition and we have been engaging with the opposition and calling on the opposition to understand that also democracy is a process. And therefore, their responsibility goes beyond access to power, but rather they have a force that counts in the life and strengthening and development of democracy in Burundi. And therefore, their place is definitely to be part and not outside of the formal democratic process. So I am reassured today to see that these messages are fairly well received today, and that both the government and the opposition are growingly talking to each other, and that our role as a facilitator for such a dialogue is welcome, And at the end of February, we will be holding an important workshop bringing together government representatives at the highest level, opposition leaders, and including those who are in exile, to do exactly two things. One will be to take stock of the 2010 elections, review what went wrong, and also what was well done. And from there, draw the lessons so that we can identify a set of key elements which could form part of a roadmap that political actors in Burundi could consider as something that they want to see embedded in the electoral law within the CENI, which is the Commission Electorale Nationale Indépendante, which will be responsible for organizing the next elections, and therefore so that we have, for the next round of election in 2015, fair, transparent, and just elections.
Burundi is one of the poorest countries in the world. The government right now is actively engaged in the elaboration of a new poverty reduction strategy paper, or in UN speak, a PRSP2, to replace the first PRSP that had been adopted in 2006 following the post-transitional national elections. They just held a meeting in the end of October, Burundi did, with all its partners, and they collected more money, more than $2 billion than they expected to. I wanted to ask you, what has happened in the aftermath of that? Has that encouraged the Burundians to pursue and to define an anti-poverty program that can reduce the levels of poverty within Burundi?
Absolutely. The Geneva Conference, as you mentioned it, Warren, was a real success. Burundi's partners came in big numbers to make a statement to Burundi that they believed in Burundi's commitment to reshape its social and economic situation and to launch a very effective development strategy, tackling extreme poverty and ushering an era of growth and shared prosperity. But this is not going to be an easy undertaking. And in Geneva, the commitment made by the partners was also met by a commitment by Burundi itself, which was to ensure that they would put the house in order, put it together, clear governance mechanisms, which will enable them to manage any asset they may receive from their partners, but also their own asset, so that within this compact, Burundi could be a much more dynamic and vibrant society which will pull out of poverty its own people. So Geneva was definitely an excellent opportunity for Burundi also to try to rebrand itself and show to the world that poverty could be defeated.
In a society like Burundi's, coming out of extraordinary violence more than a decade ago, the subject of transitional justice is always important. As I understand it, the two things we are talking about institutionally in Burundi are, one, a Truth and Reconciliation Commission, and two, a special tribunal. Has there been progress in creating those two bodies, and are those two bodies being created in line with international standards?
Transitional justice in Burundi is long overdue. It was part of the Arusha Accord in 2000 and has ever since been on the table of consecutive governments without being fully implemented. Today, we can see that there is progress. A draft law has been submitted by the government to the parliament, and we have reviewed that law. We believe the law as it stands now does not breach any international standards, but could be improved in such a way that it becomes truly comprehensive and addresses all concerns from both the Burundian people and from Burundi's partners. And it is in that light that the United Nations conveyed to the government of Burundi its comment with a view to seeing that proposed TRC would meet fully those standards so that it could be a tool for not only revisiting Burundi's troubled past, but also fighting impunity in such a way that future generations may not be, again, victims of the crimes of the past. In doing so, we also took note of the fact that in the current draft law, justice is not prominent. We have discussed this matter. Our comments do raise this issue. And we did understand from the government that there was no intention on their part to overlook justice-related matters, but they wanted to address this in a kind of staggered manner, provided that there was a clear understanding from both sides, meaning the government and us, that there won't be any amnesties for all crimes that could be considered as crimes against humanity, as crimes of genocide, or sexual abuses crimes would also not be entitled to any amnesty. So with this broad understanding, I believe there is still room for improvement, and we hope that the views that we did submit to the government of Burundi would be fairly considered so that moving forward, the UN, which has been Burundi's partners for a long time, will continue to support the country as it really is engaged to tackle these extremely sensitive aspects of peace consolidation in Burundi.
Parfait, in our discussion about persisting political division, am I right in thinking that the political divisions and indeed the violence that we've talked about is no longer ethnic? It's no longer the Hutu majority and the Tutsi minority. It's for other reasons, which doesn't make it acceptable. But is it correct in thinking that it is a measure of progress in Burundi that they appear to have overcome this desperate ethnic division that plagued the country for so long?
Warren, your assessment is correct, and this is a welcome development for Burundi. And our effort today should be to really encourage the Burundians to establish clear rules for everyone so that there is a level playing field where political actors in Burundi may disagree, but on ideas, not based on ethnicity. And this is really the game changer that the Arusha Accords really brought to this country.
There is a group with a rather dramatic name in Burundi called the Anti-Corruption Brigade. I noted that the World Bank rankings have shown some modest progress for Burundi, moving it from 169th in the world, this is the ease in doing business ranking, to 159th. Can you tell me what's being done by the government and maybe even by the UN to reduce the level of corruption in Burundian life?
Warren, this is definitely a very important issue for the reasons that we have already discussed. Burundi is a poor nation, and I would say that every francs, that is the local currency, every frambu, every dollar, every asset that they may produce themselves or may receive from the international partners is of critical importance to ensure that it is used for its intended objective. There shouldn't be any complacency with the tackling with the issue of corruption in Burundi. And we are closely supporting Burundi's effort to address corruption. We are pleased to say that it is a matter that has gained momentum and is where the head of state is himself on the forefront, showing leadership in the fight against corruption as reflected by his zero policy commitment. A number of instruments are being put in place, including the brigade that you just mentioned. There is also a court, and recent reports from the brigade are showing that more and more Burundians are growing confident to denounce acts of corruption, and more state officials are being brought to justice. So this in itself, I think, is an encouraging sign. And that's why I believe Doing Business did reflect that in their recent report. But it doesn't mean that the problem is solved. It only means that more is required to continue to fight this scourge, because as long as Burundi's assets will be misused and go in the wrong hands, it will fragilize all effort that the country could make to really make sure that its action is directly to fighting the major concerns of the country, that is poverty. So we will be continuing our effort, and we will be urging the government of Burundi to be more aggressive. And I have myself been in contact with the minister in charge of good governance. I must say here that he is a tremendous leader in this field. He's taking this matter very seriously and is becoming, I think, in Burundi, the face of the fight against corruption. He will need our support. In addition to the political commitment shown by the head of state and the minister in charge of good governance, I must say that Burundi is blessed for having an extraordinary, vibrant civil society. Civil society organizations in Burundi are championing the fight against corruption. And this is discussed in the open, in the media, in meetings with the senior leadership and with Burundi's partners. And I believe, together with the government, such a commitment and dedication to ensuring that Burundi performs better and every single asset of Burundi is used for the good cause, I think gives us all hope that Burundi can make corruption history in our lifetime.
And finally, there are some people in Burundi who believe that Burundi should disengage from the United Nations. That determination will be made in the year to come. How will the UN assess whether or not Burundi is in a state where it can go off on its own that way? And what will the UN's own attitude towards this desire to disengage be?
This will definitely not be the first time that Burundi and the UN discuss the modalities and format of the UN engagement in their country. We've been in Burundi for a long time in different capacities, from a simple political office, you know, in 1993 to configuration we're having today in Benobe. There have been many different configurations, which, of course, were always an opportunity for both the UN and the Burundian government to assess and readjust the nature, the size, the configuration of the UN engagement in Burundi. I'm not seeing this new request as if Burundi wanted to get rid of the UN. I would rather say that it must be Burundi's assessment that the time has come for us all to reviewing the nature of our cooperation and partnerships. And should Benobe come to an end, based on the benchmarks that the Security Council adopted in July last year, which we will discuss in close cooperation with the host country, the government of Burundi, there will come a time when both the Council and the government of Burundi, upon the advice of the Secretary General, will come to the conclusion that the time has come to move on to a new type of engagement. But should Benobe leave, the UN, as a family of institutions, funds and program, will remain in Burundi to provide the most needed and vital support for its socio-economic development.
Parfait Onanga, thank you so much for talking to the Global Observatory.